The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Harden returned to Houston, and guess what? He put on a show. 1 point shy of a triple-double with 30 points. A triple-double with 29 points. What's the matter with Harden? Something wrong? James, you couldn't score 30-plus with a triple-double? That's normally what you do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, L.A., listen, I told you it was going to be a schedule loss. I told you it was going to be second of back-to-back on the road without LeBron or AD heading into the All-Star break. I don't care if it was Sacramento. You're not supposed to win that game. Told you someone needed to step up. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Tempo picking up a little bit. Harden with the hezzy. Spins into the paint. Euro steps. That was vintage James Harden.
James, tonight you were booed. Tonight you were cheered.
Hey, Raj, what I want to know is, Raj, my producer in L.A., I'm here in New York. This is the COVID days. What I want to know is, it says pause for imaging. I was pausing.
Yeah. Oh, do we have to explain this to you again? Our technical leader has explained to you 10 times because of the TV people. This ain't just a radio show, Max Kellerman. This is a TV show as well. You can see us on ESPN Plus right now. You should subscribe to get plenty of stuff there. But because of that, there has to be a little bit of a pause so you don't cut, like, clip the intro to the audio.
Well, if you were watching on ESPN Plus, you would see Joel Embiid doing work. But listen, James Harden has been, like, we were talking about on First Take today. He is in the top three MVP conversation right now. I can't believe it. And who was it who brought up yesterday on the show? A caller brought up the fact that, you know, he didn't know offhand whether an MVP had ever been traded midseason. But James Harden, Richard from Manhattan, of course, I should have known, you know, brought that up. I got to tell you, Harden, it's what's remarkable is he played his way out of Houston. He was dogging it in Houston, fat and out of shape, a detriment in the locker room and a drag on the team. And, you know, forced his way. Everyone knew why he was doing it. But you started hearing around the league rumors like this dude doesn't want him to come to that destination. This dude doesn't want to play with him. He winds up in Brooklyn. And day one, looking like he rolled out of bed, fat and out of shape, looking like a hot mess, gave him 30 points with a triple-double. He did a triple-double with 30 points in like a couple of games, and they started to win right away. Then Kyrie came back, and they had to adjust. They figured that out, and they haven't stopped winning. I got to say, when I talk MVP, I'm going to get into Embiid in a little while. He's the MVP, basically, wire to wire. And then it's so easy to overlook LeBron. He just missed his first game. And LeBron has not only given you like 28-8-8, but he's also playing defense at his age and playing every game. It's remarkable. But Harden's right there. Here's James after the game.
I mean, once I get on that court, it's just trying to win. You know, I'm not really worried about anything else. So that was kind of, you know, my feeling. Win the game and do whatever it takes and do what you've been doing. Wasn't trying to show off. Wasn't trying to do anything out of the ordinary that I haven't been doing. Tonight I got a little, you know, carried away with some loose turnovers. But other than that, just playing my brand of basketball and the way we've been playing as a team, trying to get a win.
I think he had 8 turnovers last night. But here's the thing about Harden's return. There was like mixed reaction, right? Smattering of boos and everything. And obviously they're not at capacity with the fans. But if you're Houston, because of the Dallas Cowboys, it must be the Mavericks and the Rockets, they can't seem to attract big time players. You know, like you don't hear about like a big time superstar wanting to force his way there, which is odd because they're warm weather states with no state income tax and relatively glamorous. Dallas and Houston are not New York or L.A. or Miami. You know, it's not like they're one of the – they're on the coasts and they're enormous port cities or cultural hubs to the extent New York and L.A. are. Same thing with Miami, which is also a glamorous destination. It's not Silicon Valley even, right? But, you know, Dallas is a pretty glamorous destination, in fact. And Houston is one of the fourth largest market in the country. Warm weather, no state income tax, and well-run teams for the most part. Like player-friendly, team-friendly owners can't get superstars to want to go there. So I'm sure that's on Tillman Fertitta's mind, the owner of the Houston Rockets. And that's why he's like, oh, we'll retire Jersey right away. We'll retire Harden's number as soon as he comes back. And the fans would be wise to take Tillman Fertitta's lead here. Now think about how Fertitta's playing this. Harden forced his way out, signed an extension, took all the money, and then was like, nah, I'm good. And now I want to go where I want to go. So, of course, Fertitta's got to have certain feelings about that. They did well, Houston, in terms of the draft haul that they got from Brooklyn. It was impressive. But the most important thing, I remember talking to Jeannie Buss about this when they extended Kobe. And I thought, like, wait a minute, you just got out from under Kobe's contract. He had a torn Achilles. He's, you know, 100 years old. He's never going to be the same. And not only that, you know, a lot of young players didn't want to play on the Lakers that, you know, because you just got to watch the Kobe Bryant show. And in, you know, in spite of all of that, what the hell was I saying? In spite of all of that, they gave Kobe the extension. And they gave it to him before he even stepped out on the, they didn't even know how his Achilles was. They gave him an extension. And it was like 25 or 30 million a year. And I remember thinking at the time, like, what are the Lakers doing? You just used up all your cap space. It's not like a magnet. Kobe at that point was not a magnet for young players or superstars, free agents, you know? What are you doing? And Jeannie Buss said, and I always thought this was a rationalization. A lot of times there's behavior because it's just who you are. So you behave a certain way. And then after the fact, you go out and map on reasons for why you behaved this way. Especially if it seems like your behavior is a little irrational. Then you go back after the fact and convince yourself and others, well, no, really, I did it this. It's actually rational. So I thought this is what Jeannie Buss was doing at the time. And what she told me, the reason she gave Kobe the extension, sight unseen, is they wanted to send a message to the rest of the league. This is how we treat our own on the Lakers. And again, I thought at the time, okay, I mean, that sounds nice, but really, I think the rest of the league see, wait a minute, Lakers are dysfunctional. They don't know how to spend their money. But no, that reputation actually helped the Lakers, I believe. And once there was a healthy culture in L.A., here comes LeBron James, and then here comes Anthony Davis. So Fertitta was smart about Harden. Smart about Harden. Let's show the rest of the league how we treat our own in Houston. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But as great as Harden was, did someone else stake their claim as the MVP last night? Because Joel Embiid went for 40 and 19. And let me explain something. Sixers-Utah is the first half championship game. That's the best team in the Eastern Conference, at least the team with the best record, versus the team with the best record in the Western Conference. Two top conference records playing each other. Two best teams of the first half playing each other from either conference. And Utah had the game in hand. Like they were winning the game, and Donovan Mitchell was playing well in spite of some very good defense being played on him. And then it was as though Joel Embiid said, nope, I'm willing my team to victory. And down the stretch was taking it to Gobert. And then has a run back, not a step back, a run back three to send the game to overtime. And then does work in overtime, and the Sixers win. Meantime, Donovan Mitchell gets ejected, but, you know, he had a stretch of a whole bunch of possessions, maybe even double-digit possessions, where Ben Simmons locked him up. And the reason he was getting frustrated, you know, oh, that's a bit of, there was no offensive foul on Ben Simmons. There was. Donovan Mitchell, who's a great guy, according to everybody. We've had him on First Take. I know some people who coached him as a kid, and everyone loves Donovan Mitchell, high character guy. He was frustrated. He was frustrated. He allowed it to get under his skin, and he got himself ejected. And let me tell you something. It's a learning moment for him. Got to keep your cool in the playoffs. Ben Simmons just locked him up late in that game, and Embiid has been the MVP of the season, really, since the beginning. I think wire to wire, 40 and 19 in the win. Alan Hahn, host of Bart and Hahn on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Alan? Alan, did you say something? Because I couldn't hear you. I don't think Alan can hear me. All right. Raj, while our technical crack staff fixes Alan Hahn's sound, unless it's me. Can you hear me, Raj?
I can hear you fine. I just wonder if you pushed the right button right now.
I don't have any buttons to push. I have no buttons
to
push.
You have a big board in front of you. Don't lie to the people that are listening.
There are no
Take
buttons
them behind the scenes.
See, look at my hands. Nothing up my sleeve. All right. No buttons to push.
Uh-huh.
You just
All
tell
right.
me when you have Alan Hahn's sound fixed. Because I want to ask him about this. I know he's talking James Harden today. I saw him on TV, too. He's just waiting. Put Alan Hahn back on the screen. I want to wave at him. Here, put him on. Does he have video return? I want to wave at him. I'm going to hold up a note saying, I'm sorry, Raj can't figure this out. Hey, Alan, how are you? Do you have return? How you doing? Hey, Alan, can you see me? Thumbs up. Raj apologizes for this. Brendan, too. Well, if Alan could hear me, I'm sure he'd have a lot to say about whether or not the 76ers are the Nets' biggest challenge, because I say they are. And one of the issues, look, I like the Nets. When they get going, how are you going to stop them? And I'm more and more thinking it's going to be hard. Like, I don't know how the Lakers do it either. But this NBA is not built to stop Joel Embiid. It's not built for that. You're not supposed to be able to dominate as a big on both ends of the floor the way Embiid is dominating. And do you know what it's like? Remember when he beat the Pacers and he pointed to Miles Turner? He's been really good, but I've dominated that matchup since I've entered the league. He points to Rudy Gobert. He's on the All-NBA defensive team or second team or third team and not me? Because I don't know that Gobert is better than Embiid defensively, let alone offensively. Embiid reminds me of a dude. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay, they fixed the technical difficulties. Did you see me waving to you? Did you see me waving to you? Hey, Alan, do you have video return?
So no, I don't have the video return. Gotcha. I honestly didn't even know that I was on. I know my TV's on, but I didn't know you were trying to talk to me. I apologize
right.
for that.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. In fact, Raj, Brendan, please apologize to Alan Hahn. I think he's owed an apology.
Alan, I'm very sorry. I know we text back and forth and we were looking for solutions, but we messed it up.
Yes, that's good. That's enough. That's enough. You have nothing to apologize for, Alan Hahn. You know what Tony Kornheiser, you know what Kornheiser once told me, Alan, when I asked him about that? Like, Tony, I was a radio neophyte at the time and he was very experienced. I said, I noticed you're good getting in and out of breaks and stuff like that. Like, how do I do that? How do I get better at that? I asked him on the air on my old radio show. And he said, Max, Baryshnikov does not sweep up the stage when he's done with a performance. You have people for that. Unfortunately, Alan, I have to do everything. Don't you ever apologize. All right, let me ask you about the Nets and the Sixers. Alan, when I watch Embiid now, I see a big dominating the league on both ends in a way that bigs are not supposed to dominate the modern NBA. Are the Sixers the Nets' biggest challenge in the East?
Oh, there's no doubt about it in my mind. I really do think that they are the one team that is kind of built. I thought the Heat might be a little bit as well, just because when they are healthy and they get their defense right, like we saw them, they can be, you know, a really tough team to go up against, but they still are sort of, you know, having their issues. But, yeah, you know, Bart and I talked about this. I wonder what you think, Max. I feel like, you know how we love to do that player comparison thing where this guy plays like this guy. I think in today's era, because the game's evolved so much, that you've got to take players and, like, their comparisons are something that comes out of a blender. So I look at Embiid and I'm like, that's like Hakeem and Dirk Nowitzki together. Like, blend those two together, it's sort of that. Because, like, the three hit late in the game, he does have that, the outside game. Yet, like Hakeem, he can defend, he can rebound, and in the post, he's a monster.
Do you see what Alan and I are doing, everybody?
For the first time in his career, he is
healthy. Do you see what Alan and I are doing, everybody? It's like dueling hosts. I set Alan up, and immediately Alan Hahn, the host, takes over and starts to set me up with it. We're like Kyrie and James Harden in the backcourt, sharing the ball. I agree. I would say this. Embiid, and like I'll say Embiid because I'm also talking about the defensive end. So I'm going to leave Jokic out of this for a second. There's never been a center like Embiid. And I'm cheating a little bit because he's 7 feet tall. Hakeem really wasn't. Neither was Tim Duncan. But for a 7-foot wide body, what doesn't he do? He does everything, including hit free throws and three-pointers, take guys off the dribble, and has increasingly been better and better in terms of defending the pick and roll and out in space and the paint. And he's kind of the perfect center. But what I've noticed, Alan, and as you came on, I was in the middle of making this point. I want you to respond to this. He has been, like Shaq has been begging Embiid for this for years now. Do it every night. And Embiid is now looking at Miles Turner. I want to beat him in that match. And at Rudy Gobert, I want to beat him. And I said on First Take today, it's like, remember the end of Predator 2 when Danny Glover gets on the ship and he's looking around and he sees the pelts of like Alien and E.T. and everything? Meaning like the Predator's been all over the galaxy putting all the pelts on the wall. I feel like that's where Embiid is now. He wants everyone's pelt on his wall, all the other bigs. And that level of competitiveness is what Shaq's been talking about from him. And it's turned him in, so far this year, to my lights, to the best player in the league.
I agree with you there. MVP, absolutely. I think he starts the conversation. And I kind of like that. It's okay. It's almost like his coming of age, right, where he's always had that level of petty. We saw it when he was on social media a lot back earlier in his career. He always had that bit of petty about him and humor as well. But what we never saw it was at that level of competitiveness, where that petty competitiveness, where I'm going to find a reason to want to rip your head off no matter who you are. I'll find a reason and I'll use it to motivate me that night. Well, he doesn't need any more reasons because people have doubted him. But we have had reason to doubt him. It is the first time in his career where he is in incredible shape, where he doesn't have to take nights off for load management. I feel like that's what we're getting from him, is a coming of age finally for a player who is healthy, in shape, in his prime, and now also mentally ready to take on the challenge of the entire league. And I love that. I love what he said last night, too, the sarcasm. Oh, apparently I'm afraid of Rudy Gobert. Yeah, I was really afraid of him tonight. Yeah. He dominated him last night.
Well, it's a chicken or egg thing with Embiid, too. Like, were the injuries stopping him from getting in shape? Or was not being in shape, you know, like part of responsible for the injuries? Talking to Alan Hahn, host of Barton Hahn, right here on ESPN Radio, Max Kellerman Show, here on ESPN Radio. Donovan Mitchell, you know, this follows Devin Booker and Montrezl Harrell. Guys are getting bounced. Stephen A. was going ballistic about this on First Take today. Yep. Guys seem to be getting quick whistles and teed up very quick and booted out of games over stuff like, in Montrezl Harrell's case, he says, and one gets the boot. Like, what's going on with these officials, Alan?
You know, I feel like, do you remember the days too, Max, that like the officials were the older guys? Well, you had the Bennett Salvatores and the Dick Bavettas and even Joey Crawford, even though he had that problem with Tim Duncan. You had so many of the older refs who understood the players. You know, there were guys that they would get into their arguments, but, you know, for the most part, you understood. Everybody had their roles. The officials, they're a lot younger for the most part, and you're seeing a lot more hair trigger when it comes to tech. Maybe they don't want the verbal abuse. Maybe they don't like it. Maybe it gets to them to a point where they're trying to crack down on it. I don't know. But, like, the J.J. Redick rolling the ball to the referee and you get banged for it. It's J.J. Redick. No. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, this guy, he's probably going to be on one of our networks at some point after his career is over. He's fantastic when it comes to talking, and you're going to tech him for that. So I feel like there's something about maybe the evolution of the officials, the younger refs coming into the league. Maybe they don't want to put up with it anymore. I don't know. But, Max, Brian Windhorst told me something today on our show today I didn't even think about. You know the officials are flying commercial? So while teams are in their bubbles and having to mask up and do all these things, officials are on the court off of a commercial flight, not wearing a mask.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be the wisest choice. That doesn't seem to be the wisest choice.
I heard that. He's right.
Those are super spreader flights, apparently. I mean, like, what's the point in the bubble if you then let someone in? I mean, maybe they have protocols of which we're unaware. Hey, before we let you go, Alan, because we're running out of time, can the Knicks win a playoff series this year?
I don't know if they're built like that. I compare them to the D'Angelo Russell Nets, Kenny Atkinson 2 years ago. I compare them to that team, that little engine that could, that is just fun to watch. But when it comes to a seven-game series, because, I mean, if their seed's going to be low, they're going to be up against, you know, a team that's built to win it. But I'll tell you what, Max, I'll sign up with just getting there, man. It's been too long.
Bradley Beal or Devin Booker?
If I had a choice?
Yeah, if those are the guys who people are whispering about. you know, right. maybe Bradley Beal will come to the Knicks, maybe Devin Booker. It seems to me that they've turned it around in Phoenix to the point where maybe it's not so easy to get Devin Booker. Bradley Beal may be more realistic. How, would you give up a lot for Bradley Beal on the Knicks? In my view, he's not the best player on a championship team. He might be the second best player on a championship team. But if you acquire him without running into cap problems and you still retain some draft currency, some draft capital, he's the kind of player who can take you to the next level and make it more attractive for the next superstar to join on. What's your feeling about Bradley Beal? Then we got to go.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. I think that's exactly how I feel about Beal. He's somebody you add to a team that's already trying to win a championship, where I think Booker and his age is somebody you bring to a place to say, you need to be a bigger star, and we're the team that gets you there. And I connect the dots with Kentucky. That's why I think he's the guy.
Yeah, Kentucky. I mean, the Knicks are just fielding the whole Kentucky team. Right, guys who were considered, well, they didn't really pan out. Nerlens Noel, Julius Randle. Actually, don't look at what they can't do. Look at what they can do. And Thibodeau is doing that, and then they're also improving. Alan Hahn, ladies and gentlemen. Bart and Hahn is the show here on ESPN Radio. Always appreciate it when you jump on with me, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Signs pointing to the Jets moving on from Sam Darnold? Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering... Let me say that again in English. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Jets moving on from Darnold.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Who is your first half MVP? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I couldn't care less who your first half MVP is. The answer is Joel Embiid. Second, LeBron James. Third, James Harden. That's the list. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Are the Jets prepared to move on from Sam Darnold? A day after general manager Joe Douglas said he was listening to phone calls regarding a potential trade of quarterback Sam Darnold, one NFL insider says the Jets have suddenly made the second overall draft pick the most valuable selection in the entire draft. Pete Schrager said, honestly, hearing Joe Douglas speak and talking to folks in the Jets organization, they have not made up their mind yet what they're going to do. And I think what he said there was very transparent, Schrager said. The phone lines are open. It could have been very easy for Joe Douglas to come out and say, Sam is our quarterback and he's our guy. The phone lines are open. If you want to make an offer, we will listen. And that's just the truth. Look, Sam Darnold may turn out to be a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. I think if he was going to be a great quarterback, if he had that kind of intrinsic greatness, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, all different kinds of quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, like different styles of quarterbacks. I think Deshaun Watson, independently great, no matter where they were always going to be great. The degree of their greatness would have changed, but it's an issue of degree, not kind. You know, game recognize game, real recognize real, right? Like other players can look at those guys as ballers. And they were always going to be great. But then most quarterbacks fall into a different category of degree. Like they're not of the same kind. As I know Brady is not fast and everything, but Rodgers and Mahomes and Brady and Drew Brees and like the intrinsically great players were always going to be great. Even if they're in a bad situation, they're going to be great. Most players are not that, and it really, the degree to which they excel really depends upon their situation. That is Darnold. I always want to say Sam Bradford. I was sure Bradford would be great, and I was wrong. But Sam Darnold, the degree to which he'll succeed will depend on his situation, but he's a different kind than the guys I just mentioned. I don't see, like, he's a future Hall of Famer. Now, given that, Are you best going forward with Darnold and hoping he improves, and then you're faced with a contract decision? Or are you better off resetting the clock with another college quarterback who has upside and still you believe the chance for greatness, not just goodness? See, I would opt for that. I would opt for that. And I would trade Darnold, who does have some trade value. And I would amass even more draft capital. And I would, you know, target the quarterback I liked. And with the second pick, I would, you know, do a little legwork and figure out, is he going to be available at a later pick? And maybe even trade back to pick up that guy. And then put a team around him and start that clock again. This Darnold doesn't look like it to me. He may turn out to be good, but he doesn't look like it to me. Richard from Manhattan wants to call me out? After I just gave him a shout-out on the air? What do you want to call me out about, Richard?
Max, yesterday I gave you that point about MVP being traded during the season. And I heard you talk. I watched with my mother this morning.
I referred to you.
I watched with Stephen A. Smith. You said you brought up my point, Max, but you did not give me credit.
What did I say on First Take?
Well, you said it's never happened before where an MVP was traded during the season. And you didn't. You did not say Richard from Manhattan gave me
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what. The next time I say that, I make so many points during the course of a broadcast.
I got a great one today. You're going to love it.
Richard, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Because I didn't even remember earlier in the show who made the point. But then when they reminded me, I was like, yes, of course, Richard from Manhattan. So what I will do the next time that point comes up is I will say, as Richard from Manhattan – on the Max Kellerman Show, brought up, and I will credit you for that point. It's not intentional, but a lot of times you in my position, you are processing so much information you don't always remember the origin. But go ahead. Now make your point.
Okay, Max. Yeah. Yesterday, something happened in the NBA that I bet never happened and never will happen ever again. Mm-hmm. You want to hear it?
Sure. I can't wait. Wait a minute. I can't wait to use this point on the air tomorrow and not give you credit. Go.
Okay. T.J. McConnell had 10 steals, correct?
Uh-huh.
From Indiana.
Okay.
That's not what was incredible. What was incredible was he did not commit one personal foul. 10 steals, not one foul. That will never happen, and I'm sure it's never, ever, ever happened.
That's sort of like, you know, the crazy stats where an offensive player does all this work and never turns the ball over. But 10 steals, no fouls is a very interesting statistic, and I look forward to stealing it on tomorrow's First Take.
The great all right, I'll be watching with my mother. Thank you, Max.
Okay, thank you, Richard, and Richard's mom. I don't know. Let me see. Let me try this one out, okay? Raj, you be me. Okay? You be Stephen A., and I'll be me.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Stephen A., let me tell you something. Do you know what I was thinking
about?
You're wrong, Matt. Do you know what I was thinking about? Just me thinking about it by myself, on my own. I was musing and thinking about sports as I often do, as I always do, preparing for the show. And it occurred to me, T.J. McConnell had 10 steals in a game. But here's the thing. Forget about no turnovers, no personal fouls. Stephen A., what do you think about that stat that I dug up and am now highlighting all on my own?
Let me tell you why you're wrong. That's all I got.
Pretty good. I think it'll work. I'm going to try this on First Take tomorrow. Gabe from Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. I really like your show, but
thank you.
I was just going to say, I believe Embiid, like you said, is the MVP, and the Sixers really proved to me last night that they're the team that has the most depth in a way too in the East, and I feel like they're going to make it to the NBA Finals. I just want to hear what you got to say about that, Max.
Daryl Morey's done an excellent job surrounding Embiid and Simmons, and Doc Rivers has done a great job coaching the team up. But what we're seeing here, is a team where against everyone but the Nets, they're usually going to have the best two players on the floor, certainly two of the best three. Like they just played Utah. Who on Utah is as good as Ben Simmons? Donovan Mitchell, maybe. I mean, probably not. When you add in the defense, I don't think you can say that right now. You know, in a big game in the playoffs, his offense, you can't sneeze at. I mean, but Can you really say Mitchell's a better player than Simmons right now? The reason he got booted was Simmons locked him up down the stretch, like 8, 10, 12 possessions, and Mitchell was getting nothing. So, that's the real thing. Embiid's the MVP, and Ben Simmons is playing at MVP level. So even when they play a team like Utah, they got the two best players on the floor. You miss any of the Max Kellerman show today? In case you miss Paul Pierce later, for example, you can always find both hours of the show. Paul Pierce will be on in a little bit. But you can find both hours of the show every day, posted daily as a podcast. And you should download the podcast. Personally, I don't even care if you listen to it. I just want credit for you downloading the podcast. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, New York, the Knicks are at 500, but is their luck about to run out? The Max Kellerman. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you about the college basketball season, which is heating up. You know what that means? It means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Don't miss Oklahoma State sensation Cade Cunningham tonight as the number 17 Cowboys travel to Waco to take on number 3 Baylor. 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's. Knicks running out of luck. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Knicks are 18-18. New York is celebrating like it's a bar mitzvah. 18-18. Oh, the city's excited. We're 500. Had CP the franchise on the show the other day. I called him CP the franchise the whole time. Boy, I'm really that old dude who I used to listen to or watch in media like, dude, could you get the guy's name right? What are you doing? That's right. I'm too big time for everyone nowadays. I can't even bother to learn everyone's names. And CP, the franchise, who was excellent, I'm going to have him back weekly, hopefully, is representing Knicks fans who are very, very excited about this 500 record. Can it last under the break, until after the break? Entering Tuesday, according to the New York Post, the Knicks defense ranked 27th in frequency of wide open shots allowed. Opponents were shooting just 37% on those attempts. That means the Knicks are getting lucky there. They rated 28th in frequency of wide open opponent three-point attempts. But opponents, conversion percentages there were only 33%. Those shots are eventually going to fall. So, for example, the Spurs made 18 of 42. Almost 43% of them. But open looks at three in the NBA, guys are going to knock those down. Like, let's put it this way. If you have a player on your team who can shoot from distance and he has an open look at a three and misses it, you're like, oh, come on, dude. I like the Knicks' pluck. I like the way they play. They're fun to watch. I like how Thibodeau's coaching them, and I like these young players, and I'm happy for Julius Randle, who looked like a power forward from a bygone era. Not only did he not have a right hand early on, and he's not built like a defender. You know, defenders are just usually not barrel-chested, or they're lanky with long arms. It's just not the way Julius Randle's built, you know? But as an offensive player, he's like a walking double-double with like a 15-foot jump shot type guy. And really getting work done in the paint and rebounds and stuff like that. But that was a power forward that is not as valuable as he used to be. You know, like Charles Oakley was from a former NBA. But I always root, Randle's an easy dude to root for. And it's awesome that he got a three-point shot because look at him now. So they have some interesting players and quickly needs more burn, period. He can really play. R.J. Barrett, you got some pieces. But the Knicks, when they were a game over 500 and because that put them in fourth seed in the East, New York was really getting very excited. I hate to tell you, New York, you get excited about the Nets because I don't know, L.A., if anyone can stop the Nets this year. AD better come back 100%. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, if Washington's crazy to trade Bradley Beal, any possibilities you think the Clippers, without giving up Kawhi or Paul George, who never scores 40, now, I don't think that once.
Wait, you give them Kawhi for Bradley Beal?
No, no, no. With the Clippers keeping Kawhi and Bradley and Paul George, three superstars. Beal is so good.
Yeah,
how can you trade him for anything, really?
Well, I think eventually he's going to force his way out. I think Bradley Beal's a winning player who has not been in a winning situation. And he's not a superstar, but he is the very next thing to it. He is an all-star, but not just an all-star. Like an all-star who could pop up. You know, I have a rating system. 5 stars is MVP. 4 is all-star. 3 is starter. 2 is bench player. And 1 is replacement level, right? Get someone from the D League or G League or F League or E League. Beal is a 4-star player, but a solid 4. He's like a 4-point something. He's a guy who can take over games offensively. John from New Mexico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Speaking about the Bradley Beal comparison, you also rated Kyrie Irving a 4.5. So who would you rather start with the team at their current state?
Yeah, that's a great question. With Kyrie, it totally depends on the situation. I think Bradley Beal is kind of more versatile in the sense he'd work on more teams, and Kyrie needs just the right situation. That said, Kyrie is a more special player. He has a more special kind of talent and skill than Bradley Beal, and that's saying a lot because Beal really is an awesome player. Mike in Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You got 20 seconds, Mike.
Oh, boy. Well, I wanted to run 2 things by you, so I'll try to do this real quick. Look, I can relate to the refs to a degree right now in the NBA because of the constant complaining from the players to the degree that they complain at on every single foul almost is obnoxious. That's got to be wearing thin on the refs.
I hear that. Look, it is, and like when Donovan Mitchell's complaining about everything, and a lot of times he is fat, like he did commit the offensive foul, he shouldn't complain. Paul Pierce is going to weigh in on this coming up. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.